This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Second City Hockey Podcast. My voice might sound a little different than the one you were expecting to hear at the start of this. This is Dave Melton coming to you live from Northwest Indiana tonight. Brad Replinger is not here. He's down on assignment, hoping to rehabilitate the upper body injury he recently came down with, and we're hoping for a full recovery. He'll be back to the team shortly. There is one familiar voice with me tonight, and that is Brandon Kane. Brandon, say hi to the people.
Hello, my people.
Well done. And we have a new voice for you tonight, making his first ever Second City Hockey podcast appearance, all the way from parts unknown, according to his Twitter bio. It's Shepherd Price.
Hello. That's the wrestling fan in me, the parts unknown. All the best came from parts unknown.
The thing is, you're the only hockey fan who's also a wrestling fan. There's like no overlap between those fan bases whatsoever.
No overlap. There's certainly not two of us on this podcast.
No, absolutely not.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the number one thing I learned about hockey fans when Twitter got bigger was, oh my God, a lot of these people also watch wrestling. I had no idea. And then I'm not knocking it. Just I never got back into wrestling after walking away from it in college. But it seems interesting. Every Monday night I see a series of hilarious tweets from people. So
we're well represented.
Yes. Yes, you are.
As well. So,
but that's not this podcast. I'm sure, Shepherd, if you wanted to do your hockey or wrestling podcast, I'm sure we can work that into the summer because we're here in the middle of August. There actually is something that happened today, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But for the most part, this is the time of year when the hockey calendar goes the most quiet. There's nothing happening until today when Philip Holm signed with the Blackhawks on a one-year deal, and we're going to put him into the fire right away. Shepherd Price apparently has thoughts and opinions or something to say about this signing. So, Shepherd, what you got?
Yeah, that's right. I covered Philip Holm a little bit the first year I started writing about hockey with our sister's site. Knights on Ice. I was their Wolves correspondent. He played for the Wolves for a few games. He's in the mold of the Rockford IceHog defenseman you'd expect this season, with the incoming Adam Boqvist and probably incoming Nicholas Bowden and Chad Kreis. All these guys who are offensively minded and move the puck really well. That's Philip Holm to a T. He put up a good amount of points last year in the KHL. He put up 26. He's put up 38 in the only AHL season he's played. He does a lot of things well, and they're all mostly on the offensive side of the puck. I don't know how much time he'll get on the power play this season, considering the names I just mentioned that'll probably surpass him. But as a veteran sort of leader on this team at 27, he's certainly their oldest defenseman. He is someone they could all look up to and see, like, that's how pros play. Is Philip Holm has sort of mastered that style that all these young prospects are going after.
So we're clearly expecting him to be in Rockford, not in Chicago this year. Correct?
I'd say so.
Okay.
If he was going to make the NHL at 27, it feels like he would have already done so.
Okay. Because, I mean, the Hawks already have cornered the market on fringe NHL and AHL defensemen. So adding another one that might end up playing for the Blackhawks wouldn't be too far from what they've done over the last few years. the update on the acquisition of Philip Holm that appeared at the Second City Hockey website today was written by Brandon Kane. And Brandon, did you have anything you learned while you were researching for that article?
He was teammates with Eric Gustafson for one season. I think it was 2012 and 2013 in Sweden's second division. And I have no clue if they were paired together or whatnot. But I was like, oh, that's something, I guess.
Oh, there's no Corsica data for the Swedish league?
I'm sure Jeremy Colleton has it.
Okay.
but, yeah, I was just like, oh, nice note. Throw that in there. That's about it. But, yeah, Philip has found a new home.
I was going to say he's a stay-at-home. He's a stay-at-home defenseman, but he's very much not so
now. Oh, God, you're gonna encourage him now? You're going to join in this party? Like, I thought without Brad here, we don't have anyone to keep Brandon under control. And, Shepard, if you're just going to be encouraging Brandon making these jokes.
We just have less shout-outs.
Puns are what I'm here for.
There's going to be 100% fewer shout-outs tonight, Brandon. You're absolutely right about that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
So I don't see any other reason to spend much more time talking about Philip Holm unless you guys have something really burning that you would like to add to this conversation.
Zero.
No, I think we're good.
Besides more puns, I think we're good.
Well, I mean, puns are acceptable. It's the shout-outs that Brad used up our quota of shout-outs in the last podcast. He used up the entire 2019 quota, so I don't think we can use any more. Puns, though, we're here for them. So moving on to our next topic on our list of things here that we wanted to talk about tonight. A few weeks ago, the Blackhawks fan convention happened in downtown Chicago. And if you're still looking for some information on that, Shaylin and Megan, our Puck and Right Chicago podcast that goes on Mondays under the Second City Hockey Podcast Network, they did a great job of recapping everything that happened, and they were there. So if you want a firsthand account of everything that happened, feel free to dig back into the podcast archives and they can give you everything you were looking for. But I just wanted to talk to you two in general. First off, have either one of you been to the Blackhawks fan convention before?
I haven't.
So negative for both of you.
Well, I have.
When'd you go?
Yes, I've gone to the last two.
Okay, so you were there this year as well?
Yes, I was.
So what do you think about it?
I generally think as a big chance to interact with the players, they usually buddies, and they actually get a chance to show their personalities. It's sort of, I guess, the place where the convention is.
I think we're losing Shepard.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We got you now. That reception must not be very good in the parts unknown.
No.
Just try that last sentence again. There you go.
I sort of fell in love with Alex. Okay. The convention is the place I've sort of fallen in love with Alex DeBrincat's personality. That's the sort of the first place I learned about, like, how much of a character he is off the ice.
Okay. Yeah, because it seems like that's the closest you're going to get to talking or just being around the players where they're not going to be just spouting off cliche after cliche after cliche.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing the convention does, is that, like, it's a genuine moment for everybody.
Okay. I mean, was there any particular panels or any other activities that you remember experiencing this year that were stuck out in your memory at all?
The talks with the prospects, so this year Kurashev, Boqvist, Bowden, and it was Entwistle, were all a panel, And so they got a chance to talk to each other, and the interaction between Boqvist and Entwistle was great.
Now, did they have, like, did you go to any of the autograph sessions? I know that's usually a big thing that they have at the fan conventions.
The ones I sort of went to were the Legends this year, so Belfour and Chelios.
Okay.
Yeah. Belfour sold out really quickly.
I could,
first time there.
I could imagine, yeah, because I know any of the older fans, that's one of the cult legends from that, like the early, mid-90s Blackhawks. I think Belfour's probably near the top of the list just because he doesn't do media stuff. Like, Roenick was obviously the fan favorite of that team, but he, you know, we see him all the time. You know,
you see him all the time, and it sort of ruins the Roenick experience, seeing him all the time.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's really unfortunate sometimes. But, yeah, Belfour, I could see them selling out. Yeah, I think that's the more interesting part for, like, fans of – like, if you're going to go to the convention is to maybe you get to run into players from, like, 20, 30 years ago. Like, the players now – I mean, you know, they're – obviously we're all fans of them and we're watching them now, but I'm not as – I'd be way more excited about running into, like, for me, it'd be Eric Daze. That was my guy back in the night in the late 90s, early 2000s, or Steve Sullivan if he ever showed up to a fan convention. But yeah, so have you guys Shepard, you said you've been to the Blackhawks one. Brandon, you said you haven't been to the Blackhawks one. Have you guys been to any other fan conventions?
I haven't. I haven't been to any.
Because I've
got – neither have I.
Okay, because I went to two or three of the Bears ones in the mid-2000s, I want to say. And that's where I won't say it ruined conventions for me, but it changed my perspective on it, because I was like 16, 17, 18 when I was going to these things. And I remember it would have been 2005 because it was the 20th anniversary of the 85 Bears. And I have never seen so many, like, dads chasing after other grown men for autographs, and it was the weirdest experience of my life watching, like, these 40-year-old men hunting down Willie Gault and, like, Mike Richardson, all these players as they're walking in. Like, we were situated, we spent a good 20-30 minutes just hanging out in the lobby waiting for something to start that night, and we didn't realize it at the time, but we were by the entrance where all the players were coming in, and every time the door opened, like, 30 people would sprint to see who it was. And half the time it was like one of the 85 Bears. And we sat there and just watched as, like, I remember, like, Gary Fentick walked by, Jimbo Covert walked by, like, all these guys. And then just all these autograph hounds everywhere. I didn't even know this was a thing. And I was just, as I was watching this, I'm like, God, if I turn into that when I'm 40, someone shoot me. It was such a bizarre experience for me. I don't know if you guys have had any similar experiences at things you've been, even if you go to games now, I think you see it a little bit. And I think there's been some backlash of players, like, refusing to sign autographs because they're just signing autographs for this weird guy who's just going to sell them on eBay for $50. And they're, you know, it's, I can understand why a player wouldn't want to do that. Cause after a while you're just, you know, you're not signing it for, like, a kid that he's going to hang on his bedroom wall or anything. You're going to some dude who's trying to make money off of you. I don't know. And I feel like I'm an old man yelling at the cloud talking about this. What, have you guys had any experiences like that?
No, like you said, I think old guys going for that signature they're going to sell is a much different scenario than kids who are actually going to hang on to these things. I don't think an athlete turning down that situation is good, but the old guy understands.
Yeah, I think that with the Cubs convention, from what I've seen televised in that, and then the same with the Blackhawks convention, obviously both are brainchilds of John McDonough. I think he's done a great job with both organizations of making it friendly for kids and also for, like, the older guy who wants the autograph type.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good blend of, like, here's panels and stuff for the younger fans, and then here's, like, autographs and stuff for the older folks. And it's more, like, organized in that, and it's not like some random guy, you know, comes out and it's like a dash to see who it is. So maybe he learned from going to a Bears convention like you did and was like, well, this is – nope, not doing that anymore, and had it more organized.
It was creepy. It was just – it was
– Yeah, the one of the very good things about the Blackhawks convention is that it is very, really well organized.
I remember I've been to one Hawks convention, and it was in 2009, and it was actually – I worked it as a volunteer – because I remember going, they used to have this, I don't know if they still do it, maybe Shepard, you might know, because they used to have this Chicago Sports Job Fair every summer, or it was like in April, and you got free tickets to a Wolves game because the convention was at the Allstate Arena. And like the Blackhawks one year were just looking for their street team, and they're looking for volunteers for the fan convention because I think it was the first one they ever had. And so I worked it, and it was – I unfortunately I have no good stories. Like I had no interaction with any of the players. I think I ran, they had like a target practice where you could like replicated the shoot the puck from the super skills competition. And I worked that for like 8 hours straight, which was, it was fine. I got free food out of it, so it's not a bad deal. But anyway, the point I was trying to make with this is something, now I remember, is like, I remember there was one point I was working, I ended up at that shoot the puck thing, but I started at like the welcome area, if you will. And I remember like I ran into like there was like 30 or 40 like families. Like it was just like one after another, all these people like ran down those, like the, you could see like the excitement on the kids' faces, and the parents were excited because their kids were excited. And they're like, we've never been here before. What do we do? And then like we just had to like send them to get their like arrival package or whatever it was. And like it was kind of a cool thing just to see how excited people were about the Blackhawks, because at that time they were just getting good. But like for like families and kids, I feel like that's exactly what it's for. So it's not, I don't think there are like conventions are a bad thing. Like what are your guys' thoughts on fan conventions in general?
I think they're good, and I think the Blackhawks having theirs at the last week of July is perfect timing, because you have the draft is done, free agency is done, the development camp is over, and then you have a week where it's just like dead, and then the convention. So it kind of like keeps them in the conversation in the, you know, the sports totem pole or whatever of the city. And then things just die in August. So it's like their last like pole of hockey, I guess, and being relevant for, you know, the next 2 months they're not going to be. So I think it's right, a good timing on them.
And then you got the dead period, and so it's sort of like the last opportunity for the Blackhawks to get out their content.
Oh, it's not their last opportunity. I mean, it's their last opportunity to obtain it, but they'll disperse it all August long like they have been doing. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, I feel like every 2 or 3 days now I'm seeing a new thing at the Blackhawks website. Like they had like things from the prospect camp. They had another, you know, like I think yesterday or earlier today, they had a blog with Andrew Shaw from the convention. So yeah, they got content for the next month, because you know, nothing's going to happen. Hopefully nothing happens in August. Cause usually from an NHL perspective, anything that can happen in August is probably going to be bad. So
yeah, but I think it's, I don't know like how many other teams do conventions, but like, I wouldn't be like upset or anything if other teams followed suit with what the Blackhawks are doing in that regard.
I mean, like they're a business. They're in the business of making money, and I'm sure they make an ungodly amount of money over that fan convention. And that's how business works. They're trying to make money, and I'm sure, like, I've seen those ticket prices. They're not cheap. So,
yeah, and it's something fans have been proven willing to pay for, because it's an opportunity you don't get otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, just ask Shaylin and Megan. They were thrilled about it. So. Again, as we're here in the doldrums of the hockey schedule, we were discussing earlier today what kind of things we could discuss, and we landed on a topic that I think was something we could also revisit during the season while it's fresh, more fresh in people's minds, but just talking about the general in-game experience of Blackhawks games. Now, none of us are season ticket holders. I know I went to a game with Brandon. I personally make it usually like 2 or 3 games a year. And Brandon, I think you're about the same, right?
For Blackhawks games, yeah.
And then Shepard, what about you? I imagine you've been to a game at some point, but are you like I don't know if you're able to go, or if you go regularly. Like, how often are you at the United Center for Blackhawks games?
So my father is a season tickets holder, but because I'm getting my master's degree in a state that's not Illinois. I don't get to go to that many games. So when I am in town, my dad and I usually go to a game or two.
Okay. So you've had the full in-game experience is what we're trying to get at here. And,
yes. Yeah.
And I guess that's just like the general thing we wanted to talk about here is just What are your guys' thoughts on what the in-game experience? Like, I guess the big thing is with the way ticket prices keep going up, I mean, even on the second-hand market, they're going up like crazy. Is it, I guess, do you guys find that it's worth it to go see Blackhawks games still?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. It's the best sport to see live.
Easily. Oh, yeah, by far.
By far the easiest. Well, and the Blackhawks are the Blackhawks. So going to see the Blackhawks live is better than seeing the Blackhawks on TV.
I feel like Brandon may have a counterpoint to that.
I would say team-wise, hockey is the best sport to see live. But, like, just overall, I want to see fights live. Like, like give me some MMA fights. Give me combat sports live. Like, the gasp and the reaction that you get from the crowd, you can't, like, that doesn't come over on a TV or a stream. Like, but when you're there in person, like, there's just nothing like it, because, like, the whole building is just like, oh, when a knockout happens or something like that. I think it's still worth the money to go. My thing is, whenever I want to go to a game, I always try and pick up, like, a matchup or something that I'm interested in seeing. So I know Dave and I went to a Red Wings game, so that was, like, oh, like, old rivalry kind of deal, so that was nice. I went to Keith's 1,000th game, so that was like a special thing where I like kind of mapped out, and I was like, oh, that'll be that night, so mm-hmm. get a ticket now, early on. And sometimes it's like, well, I know tickets will be cheap for this game because this team is bad. So let's go to that, which is why I'm going to the White Sox game on Wednesday against the Astros. Oh, well, the Astros are good, and White Sox tickets are cheap, and it's Dollar Dog Wednesday, so yeah. Why not?
Oh, man. I think I'm going in 2 weeks on a Wednesday night, and, yeah, Dollar Hot Dog Wednesdays. It was criminal that they took them away for 3 or 4 years, and I'm so happy that they're back. I will report back on the next Second City Hockey Podcast with how many hot dogs I had, unless I end up in the hospital because I ate too many.
Yeah, what's your hot dog per inning? That's the important statistic.
There's a video of it was a very, I don't know what company it was, Katie Nolan and some old company she used to work for, where they tried to do the 999 challenge, which was 9 hot dogs and 9 beers and 9 innings. And I think they only made it to like 5 each. Plus they're at a Mets game, so it's in New York, so it probably costs like $90 each, right? For that. But I feel like after like 2 or 3, I would just get bored. Because, I mean, they're the dollar hot dogs. They're not going to give you like the full Chicago-style dog. It's going to be like, you know, half a slice of bread and part of the hot dog. It's not going to be high quality. So after 2 or 3, I'm going to have to leave and go get actual food.
Speaking of someone who's had the dollar hot dogs, it's Wonder Bread and one, like, very small hot dog. So you're the one.
It's basically a hot dog shot. Is what you're getting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's only $1.
It's very dry. It's very dry.
Okay. What'd you put on it?
I don't put anything on hot dogs.
Okay. I just want to see if we could get Brandon to yell at you for putting ketchup on it.
No, never. on pork hot dogs, mustard.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. But yeah, what sport are we talking about? Hockey again? That's right.
Yeah. I think that the downside of going to a game is, one, you have to put pants on. that's very obvious.
Yeah.
And two, you, like, I think we're so accustomed to watching games online and, like, being active on social media and that, where you kind of, like, have that pull to, like, check in and whatnot. And that's definitely easier to do at, like, a baseball game, where you have, like, more of that, like, free time in between action. Whereas hockey, it's like, go, go, go.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to get off your all caps name of the person who scored the goal tweet when you're at the game.
Right. Or, well, you will, but it just might take like 8 minutes to have it go through. So I guess that's like kind of the like forward thinking, like this is how younger people are watching the game now, like compared to like when the Blackhawks started getting good, like that wasn't a part of the viewing experience, and that's how that's changed throughout time.
I almost
only within like a decade, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, I kind of even hate myself just for the thought that like when I sometimes when you go to the game and you're like you're missing out on like the observations of other people or like the beat reporters, and like I'm at the game and I'm thinking about what I'm missing on Twitter. It's like it's just I feel like an idiot and just such a dumb thing to be worried about when you're at the game live and it's happening in front of you. Like you can't get in your head just to watch it yourself and not think about what other, just like watch it and observe it for yourself and think about it. But that's what happens sometimes when you go to live games, I guess. I mean, is there anything, one thing that you talked about, Brandon, that I didn't want to touch on is because the Cubs got good the last 2 to 3, 4 years, however long it's been, I find that the best time to go to games, well, if you're looking for the best value on tickets, is weeknights in October. Because and it's going to apply even more now with the way the Bears are supposed to be awesome. Well, so I checked that, going to be awesome. But it seems like the entire sports world, well, the Chicago sports world, takes its time to get to the Blackhawks, especially if the Cubs make a deep October playoff run and the Bears start off 6-0, or when the Bears start 6-0. So the attention doesn't really get to the Blackhawks yet. If you go to a weeknight game, you buy the tickets like the morning of on StubHub, SeatGeek, whatever your secondhand market du jour is, there's usually some really good deals. Like I think I went to a game last year for, I think, $40 for 300 level seats, which used [S2] Nice. [S1] To be was unheard of for a while, like 2015, 2016, when the Hawks were really at the height of their powers. But now it seems like they've had three seasons that didn't end the way they wanted. I think the hype on the Hawks is down a little bit especially compared to the Cubs and the Bears. So if you're, I'm actually making mental note, October, November, some of those weeknight games that are coming up in the next few months, I think that's going to be the time to, if you're not a season ticket holder and you're trying to get into the stadium, that's the best time to go by far.
Yeah. Let's just hope there's not like that double downer like there was this past October. I think it was when it was the Bears lost to the Patriots in crushing fashion. Oh. And then the Blackhawks got absolutely murdered by the Lightning a couple hours later. Like, let's not have that happen again.
Shepard, are you a football guy at all?
I am, and this is when I expose the fact that I am not a Chicago Bears fan.
Well, who's your team then?
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, God. My reactions are a combination of anger and pity.
It is my it is my karmic reckoning for becoming a Blackhawks fan post 2010. Like I became a Blackhawks fan like after the lockout, and so like it's my karmic reckoning that I have to suffer through the Detroit Lions.
Oh, I guess.
I mean that's fair. I guess. Yeah.
I mean I'm a Bears fan or I'm a White Sox fan, so that's my karmic reckoning for.
I am also a White Sox fan.
2005. So okay. So we can.
Dave, we know what mine is, right? I willingly watch Chicago Fire soccer games.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I've put way too many hours of my life into watching that stupid team. But then I'm like, oh, the Red Stars, they're really good sometimes.
Yeah.
As of late, they're really good, but
I'm still upset about the trade of Kristen Press. Don't talk to me about Sam Kerr. I guess while we're kind of on the topic, and just in the city of Chicago, best in-game experience that you guys have had, which stadium? Ooh. Which one would it be? And then let's take cost out of it. Just the pure experience. Which one? Yeah. Yeah. So which one would you guys pick? I don't know how many of the stadiums you guys have been to, but.
Taking cost out of it, I think I got to go United Center and the Blackhawks because, again, I, as a person who loves hockey, there's nothing that beats it.
Brandon?
I would say Wrigley. As, like, actually going to the game, not, like, being on a rooftop or anything like that. Like, going to a game in the summer, yeah, that's what I'd go with. And then United Center's number two.
A good Bears game at Soldier Field, because there's 65,000 people there compared to just 22 in the United Center, it's a tough – that's a good – man. I don't know. I'd have a hard time picking one. I'd like to cop out and say a Blackhawks game at Soldier Field because that's the best by far.
No, of course. Christopher Stieg goal.
Yeah. but and there's a partnership that the Blackhawks have with Culture City that Brandon, you mentioned this to me earlier today, and you want to mention something about that?
Yeah. So I think with arenas around the country now, I guess North America, whatever it would be, Culture City is having a partnership with different arena groups and teams where they're having like a sensory room, I guess you could call it. There's probably a more technical name than that, but so it's a room in the arena where fans can go to if they have sensory issues, where it's like sensory overload with whether it be music, lights, whatever it would be.
Or that pregame show with all the lasers and everything they keep doing.
Because, like, I don't know, like, we've all covered, like, whether it be, like, high school, college, or, you know, minor league, what have you. And I feel like even after I get done with the game, I'm like, wow, that was, like, a lot to take in.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a nice partnership idea that both the Blackhawks and Bulls are doing at the United Center. And I think that area is available during concerts as well, or other events that are at the arena. So I just think it's nice to be like inclusive of, you know, all fans that would go. And maybe there's, you know, someone with, you know, a parent that has a kid with special needs and the kid wants to go to a game, but the parent's kind of hesitant because they know that the child might not react as well. So they're able to be more willing to go to a game and be like, okay, well, I do have this area that I could go to with them if something were to happen and they need kind of time away from the game. And there's still like, I think there's a TV or something in that area too. So you right. can go there and still watch the action, but it's a quiet room and you can still take in the event if you need to.
I think it's a really smart idea that, and it's a great thing to be more inclusive of all the fans that go to these games. And it's a great thing that the Blackhawks and the Bulls together are taking this on their own. And I like that it's been sort of, there's been more movement towards sensory inclusion and in all sports. Cause we recently saw a new wrestling promotion. Let's be going back to that pop up when they're more sensory inclusive.
Yeah, because I imagine if you're somewhat sensitive to any of that, like it can be absolute sensory overload at any pro sporting event these days. With the way it seems like all the teams are trying to one up each other with their pregame videos and light shows and lasers and sounds and just everything, it can be like even if you're not sensitive to that stuff, it can still be a bunch. So if you're extra sensitive, I can only imagine what that must feel like. Either one of you guys been to a concert at the United Center, just out of curiosity?
I haven't.
Neither have I.
All right. Well, never mind then, because I went once. It was the Smashing Pumpkins last year. It was actually quite a pleasant experience. It was weird to be at a concert with seats, because most of the concerts I go to, there's not, like, a seating area.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty nice venue for a concert. Not too bad.
Good acoustics,
yeah. I mean, it was everything sounded good to me. I'm not a major, like, I don't have a great ear for music. I love music and going to concerts, but I have no critical knowledge of it at all. So it always sounds good to me. So, I mean, I can tell you, I was in the bathroom and I heard like three notes and realized, oh, they're playing Stairway to Heaven, which was weird, but also kind of interesting. Yeah, good segue, Dave. Anyway, So what's out of all the, I mean, I think maybe, I guess we'll start off, we'll restrict this to the Blackhawks and then maybe we can branch out beyond hockey, but what's the most memorable moment you guys have seen in person? And Shepherd, we'll start with you.
I don't know whether this moment is good or bad because I have a very bad memory, but the most recent game I went to was the game where Jace Howerluck scored two goals on the Blackhawks just out of nowhere. This Florida Panthers prospect who probably didn't play more than 15 games with them just exploding against the Blackhawks. And that's my memory of it, is just the team that Q now coaches beating Colleton's team.
Was that really early in the season?
That was December.
December. That okay. Was,
yeah.
So that's the most recent memory. You've never been to anything more memorable than that, or best game?
I have a bad memory for these sort of things.
Okay. You know,
I went to a game against the Sharks in 2017, I think, where Kruger scored two goals, or 2016, where Kruger scored two goals in one game. Yeah.
You sure?
It was one of the very few games where Marcus Kruger was one of the three stars of the game.
Well, I'll be damned.
He scored five goals that season.
it was a special moment watching that guy get
I'm looking this up on Hockey Reference because I don't believe you.
I might be wrong, but I know for sure he was one of the three stars, and that's what I remember. Okay. How often is the fourth line center the third star, the second or third star of the game?
Like when Kruger got traded away for the last time, or no, when they, I can't remember. It was when they traded him away the first time. I wrote like the farewell Kruger piece, and I remember it as I was researching like big moments in his career. He scored against the Ducks in 2015. He scored like a triple overtime goal that I think it was game four, three or four. But it was the longest game in Blackhawks. I think it was the longest postseason game in Blackhawks history, and I had no idea he scored the goal.
Was that the game where Shaw headbutted the goal and that didn't count? And
yeah, Seabrook? I'm pretty sure it was that one. Like, and then like it was a few minutes later. I think Seabrook first off one-timed the puck out of midair and got it near the net, and it hit Kruger's like, I think it hit his like chest and dropped down, and he just like got half a stick on it and tipped it in. Brandon, what about you? What's your most memorable in-game Blackhawks experience?
2004, first round, game six against the Blues. Blackhawks scored.
Wait, 2004?
Or 2014.
Okay, bad. I was about to say.
No. Yeah, 2014.
The 2004 Hawks were not going to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they were not. but, yeah, they scored four goals in the – third period, and
okay, yeah, I remember that game because it was
Ryan Miller was ass.
Yeah, well, Ryan Miller was ass that whole series. It was great. I remember when the St. Louis trade for Ryan Miller and everyone like they became like the sexy pick to make a deep playoff run because now they had a goalie. And then
yeah, well, it just took a couple years, unfortunately.
yeah, and a different goalie. God, yeah. I forgot that St. Louis did that. I hadn't even thought about it for 2 months, but yeah, St. Louis did the thing.
Yeah, but that was nice because that was actually the delayed 16th birthday present for one of my younger brothers, and I took him to that game. So
not bad.
Double meaning, and that was his first Blackhawks game at the UC.
That's a great start.
So I like set the bar way too damn high.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, most memorable, like, I was at the Blackhawks game at Soldier Field, which I think is by far the best just because it was hockey in a snow globe. Like, it was – well, I remember the game, like, when the tickets went on sale, they sold out in, like, half a second. I was really pissed off because I really wanted to go to that game. And then I remember, like, Tuesday or Wednesday – the game was on Saturday night, and Tuesday or Wednesday, the forecast came out. It was going to start at, like, 20 and plummet into single digits by the end of the game, and it was going to snow the whole time. And, like, 2 days after that forecast came out, the ticket prices were down to, like, $70 for an end zone tickets. So I took me and my younger brother, Jeff, we went to that game, and that is by far the best in-game. I remember just standing in my seat and just, like, looking around at the snow falling and the hockey, and, like I was like a kid looking inside the window of a candy store, like, It was the coolest scene I've ever witnessed in person. And then I guess the other one that comes to mind is I was at Ben Smith's game six overtime goal against the Canucks back in 2011. Yeah. 2011 when they forced the game seven against the Canucks. And I remember everybody heckling Roberto Luongo heavily when he got yanked out of the game or when he came into the game, cause Michael Frolik broke Corey Schneider. And then one came on, got heckled, and then And remember, Vancouver decided, well, Luongo's mental state is completely shot, so we're just not going to let the Blackhawks get a shot on goal. And they didn't for about 25 minutes, and it was terrifying. And then Ben Smith won the game.
So I'm guessing that this past season's Winter Classic is number three?
Yeah, that one was cool, but
the game was ass. But
no, the game was entertaining. I thought that game was a lot of fun, but I don't know the Winter Classic this year was pretty cool. I still think I grew up a Notre Dame fan too, so that was pretty cool. But I think the snow at Soldier Field just is by far the best.
Gotcha.
It's hard to top that.
So, I remember going to the Patriots-Bears game where the Bears put up 36 yards against the Patriots, 36 points. And that was, again, that's the snow in
Soldier Field. Oh, yeah. Okay. And it was like snowing sideways, and I think it was like 35-0 at halftime or something stupid like that.
Yep, Jay Cutler Bears.
Oh, God. What was it? All right, then following up from our last question, what's the best in-game sports experience you've had anywhere?
Ooh. Like, actually,
it has to be your most memorable moment, that most memorable game you've ever been to.
Like, it has to be a game?
Well, all right, what's yours then, Brandon? Go ahead.
mine is memorable because it was disappointing. So I went to a college wrestling duel, and everything had – it was between Oklahoma State and Wyoming, and everything had set up to, like, the hometown kid was going to win, and he did, and that was, like, the whole, like, thing. Like, the kid was from there. It was, like, a hometown duel and all that, but then the team ended up losing. So it was like, yeah, this guy knocked off a two-time reigning NCAA champ who's undefeated and everything, but the team still lost the duel. And there were like two upsets, like that guy and the other guy, like the guy right before him, they got upset wins. But then their guys who were supposed to get bonus point wins lost. So it was like everything was going their way, and then just, nope, got taken out from under them. And I was like, well, what am I? I can't write this story now. And I just rewrite it, and I was like, "Oh, this is garbage." But from like a strict fan perspective, I went to the 2014. That was a good year for me, apparently. Chicago Fire home opener against the New York Red Bulls, and I met Thierry Henry.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, "Oh, hey."
You were one of the weird guys hounding adults for autographs.
No, like we just went to like the tunnel entrance, and when you do like the thing, like I'll just put your hand over, like they'll like give you a high five, whatever. And he like stopped and turned around at us, and I was just like, that's Thierry Henry. I don't know what to do right now. Like words should come out of my mouth, and so it's like the only like time I can remember being like starstruck and being like, oh, that's yeah.
It's not like it was Clint Dempsey or something. Man.
Shepherd, I did see him this summer at the women's national team watch party downtown.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, that was weird.
Are you going to go see the Fire versus the Washington team that Rooney plays for? Because you got to go see Wayne.
No.
No, because then you have to watch the Fire.
No, he left for Derby County.
Oh, he went back?
Yeah, he went back to England.
that makes sense.
Shepherd, what about you? What's your most memorable? What first comes to mind for you?
It's probably
even if it's a wrestling duel meet.
It's probably that snow game, like the Bears against the Patriots, because I was a Patriots fan at the time, and my dad has always been a Bears fan, and just watching him suffer through this cold, where the Bears are doing next to nothing on offense. And Tom Brady is Tom Brady. Watching Tom Brady live is got to be one of the most memorable experiences of my life.
You were a Patriots fan at the time. How does this work?
So I've always been more of a player guy. I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. I'm not an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. So I'm now with Houston. I was a Wes Welker guy.
okay.
for a long time.
All right, fair enough.
Because you're so, like, oh, that guy looks like me? Because that's how no, I would identify.
I'm a sucker for the undersized, hardworking athlete. That's why I like the Brink Cat.
Okay. All right. Well, then how the hell did you end up in – who's the scrappy underdog on the Detroit Lions?
It was their 2014 defense. I liked okay. how heavy and big they were, and they got robbed.
Against
the Cowboys.
That wasn't like the – yes, they did get robbed. That wasn't like the Louis Delmas area Lions, was it? Because I really, really hated Louis Delmas. I don't know. Something about him just drove me insane.
I don't believe so, but that, okay. it was the – DeAndre Levy.
Okay. That was a slightly less hateable team. Slightly less hateable Detroit team.
I just associate the Lions with like Thanksgiving and really shitty football games.
Thanksgiving and misery. Yes. Yeah. That's our brand.
And also the place where they randomly play the MAC championship game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My favorite. Well, I can't call this the best game I ever attended because, like Brandon said, it ended up being an ultimate disappointment. But this kind of ties into the Ben Smith thing because I went to – in 2005, I got to go to game one of the ALCS for the White Sox. And if I don't know, Shepard, if you remember, the White Sox team that year went, I think, 12 – or it been 11-1 in the playoffs. And guess which game they lost, Shepard? Guess which game?
The one you went to.
The one I went to. The one – playoff game in my life of the White Sox I've been able to go to, and they lost.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they won the rest of them.
Yeah.
So that's all
I'm really. I thought I was cursed because I was also at the Bears Eagles playoff game in 2001 when Donovan McNabb just did Donovan McNabb things for 3 hours and I went home sad. And I thought I was cursed. Like I couldn't win the. Like, if I was in attendance at a playoff game, the Chicago team was going to lose until Ben Smith cured me of my curse. And I'm eternally grateful to Ben Smith for doing that.
I do have, like, a most disappointing of not seeing a player that I wanted to see outcome. I went to Iowa to see Baez play, and he got called up that day and didn't play.
So then you just drove to Iowa, as you do.
No, like I was like the day before I had gone there.
Oh, you were already there, like hotel.
Yeah, yeah. And like visiting people. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, at least
we were in Cedar Rapids, so it's like kind of close-ish. But okay. Well, yeah.
I'm not familiar with the geography of Iowa at the moment, but I know Iowa's far.
Oh. But yeah, so that was disappointing. And then the same thing happened with Wilson Contreras where I went down to see him play when they were in Colorado Springs, and like that morning, they were like, oh, he's been called up. And I was like, well, I'm already here. Shit. It's like happened again. But.
All right, guys. Well, I guess this almost hockey podcast, I think we'll wrap it up from there. I don't know. You've got more Friday shows coming up. We'll probably do one next Friday with a guest that's to be determined. And we'll probably have a Wednesday show coming up. We'll have some more. There'll be some Monday Puck and Ride Chicago podcast coming up. This is the time of year where we'll get really creative with what we talk about. So if you have any suggestions for us, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. I am _Dave Melton. Brandon, your handle is Brandon M. Kane. Is that what it is? I should have learned this by now, probably.
Yep. M stands for Michelangelo.
Exactly what I would have thought. And Shepard, your Twitter handle is
@ShepardPrice.
@ShepardPrice. See, how did you get your name? That's not fair. Some Papa John's franchise owner in like Ohio has _Dave Melton. I'm very upset about it because he hasn't tweeted in like 8 years. So, anyway,
how many Shepherds do you know? How many Shepherds do you know? And then think about that and think about how I spell my name.
SHEPARD.
And that's how you get your own handle.
All right. Well, you're saying I need to be more original. Is that where you're getting at?
Yeah. Brad. Okay. Brad Melton is a very, I feel like a very common name.
You just called me Brad Melton?
I did. Because I'm dumb.
That's all right. It happens. Anyway, I think that'll wrap it up for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following along. Thanks for reading along. We appreciate everyone that and takes in the content that we created. We're really doing this. We do this for fun, so we're glad to see you guys all take it in. You can follow the Second City Hockey main account on Twitter. It's at 2ND City Hockey. We're right in the middle of our top 25 under 25 series, so feel free to check that out at the website at secondcityhockey.com. And come back around next week where we'll have some more podcasts for your ears. Until then, we will see you later. Out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.